You're listening to KNKX. This next story comes from Sound Effect, where we tell stories inspired by the place we live. Here's Sound Effect host, Jennifer Wing.
This is Sound Effect. I'm Jennifer Wing. And if you're just joining us, we're telling stories about hiding in plain sight. People with addictions often go to great lengths to hide their problem from family and friends. Michael Roberts of Kirkland knows this well. He had his first drink at 15. He developed a habit and tried for years to keep attention away from his alcoholism. His last drink was 8 years ago. His struggle and the efforts he made to keep his problem hidden made him an expert when it came to spotting his daughter's addiction. Her name is Amber, and before she fell into trouble, she was a happy kid who was always thinking of other people first.
She was one of those people who liked to take care of everyone and sometimes forget about herself. Loyal. Will drop anything for a friend. Her smile was just radiant.
But then Michael started to notice changes in his daughter. She was more moody and started to isolate herself away from her friends. She was hooked on heroin and was not able to stop. Amber died of a heroin overdose almost 2 years ago at the age of 19. In his daughter's memory, Michael created an organization called Amber's Hope. The HOPE stands for Heroin, Opiate Prevention, and Education. He sat down with 88.5's Ariel Van Cleve, who asked Michael what he did to hide his own addiction to alcohol.
I would just lie. You have to lie. You know, I didn't want to talk about myself or my feelings. Oh, yeah, I'm great. Even though I'm, you know, probably $10,000 in debt, you know, struggling just to have my mind be clear. You start alienating everybody because you don't want to hear it. You don't want to hear them telling you, you look at yourself, please, in the mirror, and you need help.
One of the ways that you confronted Amber was going through her stuff.
Yeah, every chance I got.
You would leave notes?
Yeah.
For her?
Uh-huh.
I can only imagine, like, as a, speaking personally, when I was a teenage girl, if I had seen notes in my drawers from my dad...
Yeah, and what's funny is I would do it, but she would still leave it. I don't know if it had an effect or not. I know she read them. I know she got them. And that's all I cared about.
Have you heard from other parents who did something similar and it, you know, and it worked or it didn't work? Because I think that's one of those, like, stereotypical, like, well, I'm going to go through their room and I'm going to find some things and then we're going to discuss it.
Yeah, what I found out is, no, parents are scared to do that. They're trying to be best friends with their kids. That doesn't work. You have all the rights in the world as a parent to go through their rooms. With all the chaos that kids have these days with school, sports, job, you know, it's both parents are working. Sometimes you only have 10, 15 minutes with their kid. And you got to pick, like, do you want to have a fight or not? I think hopefully with me talking, speaking about it, that they'll pick the fight more often because it could save their life. But what I've noticed after I've done speaking at the event about awareness and telling the story of my daughter, I have a whole group of parents come up to me and ask questions. You know, how do I do this? How do I talk to them? What are the red flags?
The red flags, those signs. I want to talk specifically in the time leading up to Amber's death.
Okay.
From what I understand, it happened. Things accelerated quickly.
Yes.
What did you first notice and what did you then try to do in that moment in time?
Well, we knew, you know, she was drinking and smoking pot. And then later on in high school, found out she was taking ecstasy. So the only thing that you could do or what I felt we could do was just keep an open dialogue about drugs and alcohol. She was good in school. She had a job right when she was 15. Great work ethic. Had all of her friends through high school. And then she was getting a little bit more depressed. And then I noticed, this is in 2015, she was just turned 19. She started alienating her friends, which is not her. And at this time, she was living at her mom's, so I didn't see her that often. And then we had dinner, I want to say probably a month before she passed. I could just tell by her physical disposition, something wasn't right. I had an idea, I thought it might be heroin. You know how your child is. And just the opposite of her behavior that she's had for 19 years. And then the weekend that she died, she went to Paradiso, the big EDM rave at the Gorge. She loved that stuff. And I get a call from her mom saying that Amber wants to come home because she doesn't feel well and she's crying, wants us to come pick her up. The first thought I had when I heard that was she's dope sick. And I was trying to get out of work to go get her because I don't want her to go get heroin, essentially. So, you know, I'm at work and we're deciding what to do. And in the meantime, Amber had a friend of hers come pick her up. She died that night. And during that time, I was setting up treatment for her, get her into treatment and detox. And I was going to be taking her the day I got the phone call.
What was the time frame for this?
First time she tried heroin was February of 2015.
February of 2015.
Yeah, she died 5 months later.
So did you have any desire during all this to go get a drink?
No.
No.
Which probably 4 months later after she passed, I realized that. Like, I did not think of using, drinking, not even once. That was the farthest thing from my mind, which shocked me. I think one reason, if I did, I probably would have killed myself, more than likely.
Hmm.
And maybe just something was like, you can't do that right now.
As someone who has heard the talk and given the talk, are there like best practices? How do you do that? How do you, how do you bring it up?
I don't know. It's, you have to have one, like a beginning conversation to see where it's going, because you don't know. I mean, if you can read the person and know how they are mentally and physically, et cetera, you maybe be able to know which direction to go. But even then, because an addict is so, out there, they could just flip a switch and just turn off and walk away, essentially, or scream back at them, or who knows. The fact that you could just bring it up, that's great. And that's just what you need to do. If they need help, or if you think you're seeing them going in a direction, is this, I love you, just know that. But the addict will know that and know you're right. They will deny it because we don't want to get told, what to do or how we feel.
All of this sounds very familiar. My dad was an alcoholic, mm-hmm. and my older brother died of a heroin overdose, mm-hmm. just like Amber. Mm-hmm. He did a lot of things, the lying and denying. Got real good at it over time, and I got really good at spotting it over time.
Right.
Now I think that my detector is a little on the fritz because I go overboard.
And that's not always bad. Overboard's better than underboard.
Exactly. But I think the most extreme thing that he did after being told one of the last times that he needed to go and get help was he moved two states over.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's one of the things that isn't talked about enough is the personality side of the addiction and not just the biological side of the addiction.
Right.
Because as you were just saying, what's going to happen while I try to confront them about this?
Yeah.
Do you think that that part could be a little more, discussed?
I think that part is one of the major parts that needs to be discussed because that's what scares everybody. We're not bad people. And it's tough to see that because you're not living in their head. Growing up, everyone talked about alcoholics or drug addicts as, losers, junkies. But little do you know that your son's popping Vicodin like there's no tomorrow. And do you think he's going to come to you and ask for help? No, because he already feels bad enough. It's a mind game.
No parent wants to be in the position that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything good come out of all of this that you feel has been kind of a, I don't want to say bright spot, but.
No, you can. Yeah, because it is. It is. I'm really critical. In my perspective, I haven't seen a whole hell of a lot change. It's like we like to be retroactive on everything. When we're talking government here, because that's where we need the most help. We a lot of people have the nonprofits. I have Amber's Hope. There's Not One More. There's Shatter. All this stuff. But we're all talking to each other. People who come to these events are people who have been through it. It's coming along. I'm just going to keep telling my story. It's hard reliving her death every time I talk. And every time I start feeling like that, I'll get something or someone will call who I have no idea who they are and say, thank you. that lifts me back up again. At least, you know, okay, it's working. It's working.